And that is the mission of the church. This weekend starts off the NFL playoffs, and I know there's some teams out there that are still in it. My team is on vacation. That's the way I like to treat it, at least. But nonetheless, sports are very interesting. I don't know about you, but I love sports. Since as far back as I can remember, I've always loved sports. I can remember being 4 years old and starting off at T-ball and playing T-ball, and I loved it. And I played baseball all the way from 4 years old all the way until I was 18, until I was unable to play. And then even since then, I've joined in softball leagues with churches and different things like that. And I've also played in leagues basketball and football, and I've dabbled in soccer and badminton and tennis, and I've done bowling leagues. I love sports. I think the main thing that I really love about sports is just the competition. I just love to compete, the challenge, the drive of that. And for me, I've learned a lot about sports, from sports. But as I think about how I would drive my parents crazy, just them taking me several times a week to practices and to games, and we travel all over, and having the opportunity to be on traveling teams that you would just go away from being locally to travel outside of different places and things to compete and be involved in sports. I have to be honest, as I kind of look back on that, I kind of ask the question, you know, what was the point? What was the point? Because now that I'm a parent, as I think about my children, and, you know, we have, growing up for myself, it was just my sister and I, and my sister really wasn't into sports, and so it was really just me. But now growing up, I have three girls, and I have to wonder, you know, what happened, what do parents do when, you know, one kid has to be at one place, and then the other kid has to be at another place at the same time? What do parents do, and how does that, you know, just stress out families and things? And I have to think about, man, what will we do? How will I parent? And what is the value of sports? And don't get me wrong, I love sports. It's been a huge part of my life. But as we think about how it prepares people for life and how the connection between sports and real life, we have to ask ourselves, what is the connection? And so today what I want to do is just kind of share a little bit about how sports has a connection to real life. I fully intended this Sunday to be wearing a Ravens jersey. You weren't up to the challenge, but that's all right. We'll move for another time. But all that being said is today is a little bit about sports and how it compares to real life. Sports are, it's interesting to note that the chances of becoming a professional athlete are less than 1%. In fact, the statistics are saying that the chance for an individual to become a professional athlete is 0.00565%, believe it or not. NCAA has provided statistics saying that in men's basketball, there's only a 0.03% chance of having a pro career in the NBA. This means that almost 156,000 male high school senior basketball players will, and only 44 will be drafted to play in the NBA. Only 32 women, 0.02% out of just over 127,000 female high school senior players will eventually be drafted. So it's even less if you're female for basketball. Let's see here. In football, the odds are slightly better with a 0.08% chance, or 250 of just over 317,000 high school senior players that will be drafted. But the sport with the most professional opportunities is baseball. My first love of sports. With high school players, it was having a 0.4% chance. So all of them are less than 1%, but for baseball, it was the highest, a 0.4% chance of playing professionally. And so think about it. How often do families and involve their children into sports, but you have a less than 1% chance of doing anything with sports? So what is the point? What is the purpose? It's sports have such a heavy influence in our lives. So what is the connection between sports and life? And so that's what I want to share with us today. Kind of go through a passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, with the idea that we are meant to race. There is something in us that drives us, that has a relationship and connection to sports, but how it pertains to real life. And so I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, and look at this idea of sports and how it relates to life and church and ministry and service to God in the Christian life. And in the Scriptures, it actually talks a lot about athletics and sport. And Paul uses a couple analogies in this passage about sport. And so read with me 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 through 27. Paul says this: "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body, and I keep it under control, unless after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." I want to share with us three principles about the relationship between sports and service to God in the Christian life. Three principles for us today. And the first one is that God gave us sports as a gift, but not as a God substitute. Paul says in this passage that everybody races. Everybody is in a race. Everybody is a runner. And it's like this grand stadium of all of life. Everybody is a runner. We all are running somewhere and towards something. What are you running toward? Why are you in the race? What is the grand purpose for your race and your life? And Paul is saying that our very identities are made to run, made to be in the race. In other words, we are worshipers. We all are worshiping something or someone, and we were made to worship. We were made to worship our Creator. Unfortunately, we worship created things rather than the Creator, the Scriptures tells us. And so we all run, we all worship, but Paul says only one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain it. In this passage, the only command in this passage is, he says, run so that you may obtain it. That is a command in Scripture. He says, run to obtain the prize. If we are all runners in this life, he says, make it intentional, make it purposeful. Run in such a way as that you get the prize. For me, growing up in sports, we kept scoreboard. We kept score. We had either a scoreboard or we had a scorekeeper, and the scorekeeper would keep the score, or the people in basketball would sit in the midcourt and flip over the signs, and you'd get the basket, whether it be a two-pointer or a three-pointer, and they'd keep score, you know? And at the end of the game, you would either have a loser or you'd have a winner. And then at the end of the season, based on your record as a whole, you would either go into a playoff system or go and compete for the championship, and you get these trophies of first place and second place and third place. And there would be clear winners and clear losers. I don't know if you've seen this or kind of been familiar with this, but there's kind of a movement over the past decade or so that in children's leagues, in various leagues, to not keep score for certain sports or certain games. And so in other words, we're all winners. There are no losers for children. And so that's the idea behind that. I am radically against that. I think that, can I get an amen on that? Come on. I think that sets up people for kind of a false reality in this world. In this world, there are clear losers, and in this world, there are clear winners. There is a right, and there is a wrong. And so I think right off the start, you should teach children that, hey, sometimes in life, you lose. Sometimes you go down the wrong path. And what you need to do is you need to make some corrections so that you can become a winner. Paul is saying, in life, there are losers. In life, there are winners. Run in such a way as to obtain the prize. And what he's saying here is that in life, we're all runners. So run that you would be a winner. And he says that the prize is God. He is the prize. You see, in life, we exist for God. We don't exist so that we can go to heaven, although that is a byproduct, but we exist for God. We exist to know God, to get a relationship with Him. He is the prize. He is the gift. God is the gift. Knowing Him, have a personal relationship with Him. Having the opportunity in heaven, as Kara sang and we all sang earlier and talked about, is that one day we will see Him and worship with Him face to face before our Maker, before our Creator, before the One who made us. And that is what life is all about. That is the grand prize, the grand purpose of all of life. In sports, a long time ago, there was a phrase that was kind of captured, and it's been coined, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat for ABC's Wide World of Sports. And it kind of preceded what we know today as ESPN. But that is the point, that in life there is the thrill of victory, and there's also the agony of defeat. I want you to hear those words, the thrill of victory, the thrill and joy and glory of knowing God. That is the prize. But there is also the agony, the excruciating agony of defeat. There is a heaven, but there is also a hell. And we don't want to go to hell. We don't want to endure endless pain and suffering. That's what the Scripture clearly marks out. He says, run in such a way that you would obtain the prize. For those who obtain the prize, they enter into heaven. It's a byproduct. They get to have the glories of streets paved with gold and beautiful, beautiful place of heaven and all of what the kingdom of heaven is all about. But the grand prize is being able to know God and to be with Him. He's the prize. But those who did not run in such a way as to obtain the prize, those who ran for themselves, those who indulged the flesh, who indulged in their sinful ways, Scripture says that you cannot receive a prize. You are a loser. You're running the race, and you're a loser, it would say. In other words, you will experience the result and the end result of your race of being in hell forever. Forever. And folks, that is serious business. That's how sports relate to life, because it teaches us what is the grand prize of all of life. And hopefully it translates over to realize that there is a grand prize. And may we realize that the grand prize is God Himself. Not be satisfied with lesser things, lesser trophies in this world. A couple years ago, when I graduated high school, I was kind of on my own. I was independent. When I graduated high school, I paid for all my own car insurance. I paid for all my own, I hear to see parents, I'm looking at teenagers now, saying, did you hear that? I paid for all my own car insurance, and my own college. I went to work right out of high school for a few years and did not do college right away. And then went to community college and then went on to a university school. And parents, you know, I lived with my parents, but after college, I never really came back. However, I still had some stuff that was stored at my parents' house. You ever had that happen, you know? Or maybe you're the parent that's still storing stuff, you know? And just a couple years ago, Danielle and I, this summer, will celebrate our 10th year being married. And so we're looking forward to that. It's kind of a milestone, I guess. What is that? Is that silver? What is that? Copper? What is that? Come on, what is that? It's something, you know. Well, anyways, we're doing 10 years this summer. Well, just about a year or two ago, I went to my parents' house, and And mom said, Dave, there's a couple tubs in the garage. You got. It's time. You gotta go ahead and take it. And it was just like stuff that I never really wanted. And when I opened up the tub, it was just filled with like trophies of all the sports that I was involved in. And I opened them up and I was like, what am I gonna do with this stuff? You know, I don't really want it. Mom, you sure you just can't keep it here? I'm just not doing anything, you know? But I looked and I thought about it, you know, and I was like, I really don't, I'm not gonna store them, I'm not gonna display them, I'm not gonna put them up anywhere. And I just gave them to Goodwill that was locally there, and they take the trophies like that and take off the nameplate and use them for other Special Olympics and that sort of thing. And it just kind of resonated with me that in this world, we compete for these trophies that eventually you're just going to get dusty and stored away, pushed off in a garage, and man, it's what's the point? The scripture is saying, run in such a way that you would have a grand trophy, the prize of Jesus Christ, something that isn't going to dust, something that isn't going to rust away or fade out, but it's forever. It's an eternal prize. God gave us sports as a gift, but not to be replaced as a God substitute. So what is the prize of your life? What do you most celebrate and cheer and applaud in your life? What brings you satisfaction in your life and true joy? And God's saying, He wants to be your prize. He wants to be your Lord and God. That's principle number one. God gave us sports as a gift, but not to replace Himself. Number two is this, that God gave us sports to teach us excellence in effort. Excellence in effort. Paul says this. He says, run so that you would obtain the prize. And then verses 25 and 26, he says, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. And he tells the purpose. Verse 26, he says, I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as one who is beat in the air, but I discipline my body and I keep it under control. A couple words there. This idea of exercise and self-control. It's this word where we get the word agony, but it's the idea. It implies the idea of struggle, striving, and enduring pain and sacrifice on your body. That's what he's saying. He says that these athletes, when they are competing, and when Paul is talking to the Corinthians here, for the Corinthians, they would have every 2 years, they would celebrate the Isthmian Games. And then every 4 years, they would celebrate the Olympics, okay? And these athletes who would compete in either in the Isthmian Games or the Olympic Games, they would devote their time to be able to compete and be a part of the Games. For the Isthmian Games, they would devote at least 10 months of their life to rigorous training, whether it be physical endurance, whether it be running in cold or in heat, in season or out season, or whether it be exercise or lifting weights, or whether it be a certain dietary thing that they would go through so that they would not fill up on sugars and they would eat certain things so that their body would be in prime physical condition. But also mentally they have to prepare. And these athletes, they endured such rigorous exercise that they were to have self-control in all things. And he also says that they have an intention and motivation and drive behind them. They don't run aimlessly, nor do they box as one who is beating the air, but they do it all for an intention, all for a purpose. And their goal is for a most worthy purpose. For their eyes, it was this wreath that would be hung over their heads, this pine wreath that they would have, and it would they could celebrate and walk in front of everybody and say, look at me, I am the grand game champion. And people would look at these wreaths and say, and these wreaths, they would call them crowns that they would have. And they would be crowned the winner of the games. Paul is saying that these athletes who are involved in these Isthmian Games, they receive a crown, but these pine wreaths will eventually break up and fall into shambles and be pointless. They will perish. He's saying that we compete, other words, the Christian life is competing for a crown that is imperishable. And he says that it teaches us sport is supposed to translate over the discipline that is involved in sports, of whether it's your physical, your mental training and endurance and self-control, should translate over into real life of giving that same sort of effort, drive, and motivation and purpose, all for the glory of the gospel, of God Himself. The Christian life is to be about radical sacrifice and abandon for the sake of Christ. That Christ deserves our utmost highest, our utmost for His highest. And I think about the Christian life is how many people do we have who claim to be Christians? They have their ticket punched, so to say, that they're going to heaven, but they never live out the Christian life. They somehow never get any traction. They always kind of stay in the same place. There's been no growth, no movement in their life where they have matured into the Christian life. Over the next few weeks on Wednesday night, I'm going to be sharing with us about spiritual disciplines. And spiritual disciplines are kind of a mystery to a lot of us. For some reason, we kind of get lost and think, oh, the spiritual disciplines, that's for like super Christians. That's not for just the average Christian, okay? I'm not really into that. The spiritual disciplines are for us all. We all are runners in this race. And so it's kind of like a toolbox that will help you grow in the Christian life. I want to encourage you, I want to invite you to be a part of our Wednesday nights. Over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at various, just so many different spiritual disciplines. Some of you are going to be like, I didn't even know that was a spiritual discipline. And so we're going to look at these and see how we apply these to our lives in such a way that it will teach us excellence in our Christian life. You see, if we truly believe that God is the most highest prize in all of life, why would we give Him chopped liver? Why would we give Him in our life just second place and second rate drive in our life, or our priority and value in our life? God is calling us to a level of excellence in the Christian life. And whether that's for your own personal relationship with the Lord, or whether that's your service unto the Lord in the church and in outreach into our community. You see, when we do ministry and we organize programs, whether it be for children or youth ministry or adult ministry, it's serious. We're not to just kind of, oh yeah, that's that thing that happens on Wednesday nights, or that's the thing that takes place on Sunday morning, or that's that thing that the men's breakfast, yeah, they just do that every now and then. And no, this is life. This is ministry and service unto the Lord. And we should do all things for excellence to His glory. And so we need to take our Christian lives seriously. In other words, the idea of excellence in sports to translate to excellence in our life, for our Christian life. What areas of your life are you withholding excellence unto the glory of the Lord? Maybe there's things in your family that you're letting slide by. Maybe there's relationships that you have that you're not taking advantage of and leveraging for the glory of God. Maybe things at your job that you're allowing worldly ways to kind of settle in your life, and you're not sharing Christ at your job. Maybe the same thing at school. It's okay to be a Christian at church and a youth group, but at school it's kind of a different, you have a different reputation, a different identity. That should not be. Whether it's our finances or whatever it is. And so as members of Suburban Park Baptist Church, I believe God is calling us to raise the bar in our service unto Him. Now, does that mean that you'll spend every waking hour here inside the church? God, I hope not. Really? Okay? The Christian life is not about sitting in a room and looking all forward in a padded pew and saying, this is heaven, this is the Christian life. No. The Christian life, there are times when we gather together, the church gathered, but predominantly the Christian life is about the church scattered, the church sent out on mission. And God is calling in both areas, whether it's gathered or sent out, He's calling us to a level of excellence in the Christian life. And I want you to know, as a pastor, I am so excited about the days ahead for Surrounding Park Baptist Church. We have a great opportunity before us. Over the next few weeks, also on Sunday mornings, I'm going to be sharing kind of things like this, kind of about the nature of the church and the mission of the church, some of the core values that we're going to have as a church. And in turn, probably towards the spring, it will kind of turn into kind of like a membership class, a membership course. So in other words, over the next few weeks, we'll talk about these core values and the mission of our church, about what type of church we want to be in the days ahead. And we're going to say, okay, this is what it means to be a member here at Severna Park Baptist Church. And I'm on board. I'm excited. I'm going to give my excellence unto the Lord. I'm going to serve Him with all my might, with all my power, with all the gifts that He's given me, with all the resources that God has allowed and provided for me. I'm going to serve Him through this church. And then in turn, it will turn into, like I said, kind of like a membership course for future members of Severna Park Baptist Church. And so I'm excited to be able to share that with you. I'm excited to be able to journey together in these days ahead. But all things, we must keep this attitude of excellence and glory for the Lord. Let's do this third principle, this third and last one. It's this: that God gave us sports to acquire a humble orthodoxy. Paul says in this passage here, he says that we all are runners, and we're to run in such a way that we'd receive the prize. And then he talks about these athletes, that they compete, and they do it with such just amazing sacrifice and discipline and focus. And he says that they do it for an imperishable wreath, a crown that they're going to, in turn, lay down at the Lord's feet. But he kind of also looks at his life, and he says, I do all these things, and as I think about these things, as I tell other people to do these things, I myself do not want to be disqualified in this course of life that I have. In my race, as I'm telling other people to be focused and disciplined and give excellence, I don't want to be disqualified on my own race. In other words, he steps back and says, I realize that I am calling people to something very lofty. And he steps back and he says, you know, this is something that we cannot do on our own strength. And so it's what I'm calling a humble orthodoxy. He comes back and he says, there is a right doctrine. That's what orthodoxy, there is a right doctrine of God that we must have. And there is a right practice, orthopraxis. There's a right practice that we have to have. But there also is a level of humility here. He says that after preaching it to others, that I myself should not be disqualified. He doesn't want to, he realizes there's some humility in this. I want to share with you a few other scriptures that he tells some other churches also that kind of brings this theme of humility, but also a sound doctrine. He says to the Galatians, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. Think about that. He's been crucified. He's given his life over to Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. He says to the Ephesians, he says, be imitators of God as beloved children. See this lofty standard? Be imitators of God and walk in love. And then he gives the standard. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. He says to the church at Colossae, he says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, and he's seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. He says to a young pastor named Timothy, he says this, I received mercy for this very reason, that in me, as the foremost sinner, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. See, all through his instruction, all through his teaching to all the different churches that he would go around and teach and give them sound doctrine, he realizes that he cannot do the Christian life in his own strength. There's a humility about Paul that he realizes it's all about the radical sacrifice that Christ gave. You see, no matter what we do, no matter a discipline that we might employ in our life, it's still when that's, if we do it all in our own flesh, all in our own strength, it still would be unworthy to the most supreme God. And he always compares his battle, his struggle, his striving, his discipline, his earnestness to serve God, he always compares it to the sacrifice that Christ gave on our behalf. And he says that's how we can do it. Because we are reminded of what Christ has done for us. And therefore, it's not a matter of our performance, it's a matter of our motivation. In other words, think about that. In sports, we often think about in sports of did we give our best effort? Sometimes we will lose the game, right? But did we give it our best shot? You know, because sometimes giving your best shot in certain games and learning to lose, learning from failure, will set you up later on in the season to learn from those things so that you can be a better team, a better player in the future, right? And that's what this world is. This world, it's boot camp. It's a training ground to teach us all about life and God and faith. And it's a journey. And there's a humility here that Paul has. And he says, I don't want to be disqualified in this race. And so therefore, I must depend on the gospel. I must depend on what Christ has done for me. Pastor Joshua Harris says this. He says, it's not enough to get our doctrine straight. Life and doctrine can't be separated. Our lives either put the beauty of God's truth on display, or they obscure it. And so all of our life is about putting God on display, not ourselves. Everybody has seen the teammate that is a ball hog. Everybody has seen the teammate that is all about their self-promotion. Nobody likes that teammate. Nobody likes that teammate. And Joshua Harris, and I believe the scriptures, Paul is saying that it's about a humility that we're not putting ourselves on display, but we're putting Christ on display. Everything we do is to show the beauty of who Jesus Christ is. That he gave himself up for us. That he loves us. That he is so worthy. That he is so holy. We lay all of our crowns that we might receive in this life, we lay them down at his feet. He is worthy to be worshipped. So I'll just ask you a couple questions in closing and an application today. As we consider these principles of sport and life, that God is the gift, and that sport should not be a God substitute, that we're to give our excellence of effort, and that there's a humble orthodoxy that we're to have. There's a humility in sports that we need to learn from. I'm told that if you want to have humility, pick up the sport of golf. I've never really done that, but there's a humility that we can learn from sports that should be translated into our life. And so as we consider these principles, how about you? Are you focused on the right prize? Are you even in the race? Are you even on the right team? See, God has said that he wants all people to have faith in him. He wants people to know him in a relationship so much that he sent his one and only son into this world to die for us. That is amazing. So as you're running, what are you running towards? What is your goal in life? And I want to encourage you to run towards Jesus. To run with him. Have him be your supreme gift, your supreme focus, the supreme prize in your life. How about you, for those of you who are already in the race, and you know you have Christ in your life, but for some reason your race has kind of gotten distracted. Your discipline has been off. And God is calling you to get back in shape, to get focused, to get in training. What steps do you need to take? You need to commit to having an accountability partner and working together and praying together and going through the scriptures together. Are you involved in a small group on Sunday mornings? Are you involved in a small group that gathers around the Word and encourages you and learns the scriptures together and fellowships together and prays for each other and shares needs and concerns with each other and just shares life and does life together? That's what we do on Sunday mornings. We call it Sunday school. It's Bible study, small group. And I want to encourage you, if you are not a part of a Sunday school class, get into one. It will help and fuel your Christian life, I promise you. Where are you on these areas of your spiritual growth and your race? And are you ready to race with excellence? The race does matter. Life matters. So I'm going to encourage us to translate what we learn from sports, but translate that into real life and towards the right crown. Let me pray, and our worship team will come and have a time of response. It'll be a time for you to come and worship and glorify the Lord. It's also a time and opportunity, if you feel led, to make a public response. Maybe today you are saying, you know, some steps that I need to take is to say, I need to get plugged into a community of faith. We're believers, and we want to join this church. We want to be in the race with this group of people. It's not a perfect church, but we're on the journey together. And so if you'd like to join the church here, the way you do that in the Baptist church is you kind of have a little courage and you kind of step out the aisle and you come forward and you say, Pastor, we want to join the church. And I'll talk with you a little bit about how to do that. If you want to make a public decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, you can come forward and I'll pray with you and talk with you about how to do that as well. You can make that decision at your seat and tell me later. But this is an opportunity for us to respond as the people of God, to worship Him and glorify Him. And all that we do is for with excellence in His name. Let me pray and then lead us in this time. God, thank you so much that you gave your Son, you've revealed yourself in Jesus Christ. And God, in this world, this race that we are running, we want, God, to draw the boundary lines and say, God, we are running towards you. Our eyes are fixed on you, and we're tired of settling for second place. We're tired of running the wrong way and running towards things that are of lesser value in this world. But God, we want to obtain the prize. And that means, God, we want to know you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and all of our strength. So God, I pray that your Spirit would resonate in the spirit of your people here today. And you would encourage us, God, to draw close to you and to walk with you in this journey. And do it with excellence unto your name. And God, for the person, God, this morning that is wavering on even entering into that race, they're wavering in whether to receive you into their life, I pray, God, that today would be the day that you nudge them forward. God, that you would help them, God, to see you for all you are and the beauty, God, of the gospel. God, that you offer forgiveness of sins and freedom and true joy. I pray, God, that message would penetrate their hearts, that your Spirit would call them to saving faith today. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for this church. And we pray, God, and we commit ourselves to the church body, God, to be all that we can be, God, for your glory. And we do it with humility, God, knowing that we are an imperfect group of people, God. There's an imperfect pastor, God, that stands before these people week in and week out. So, God, we look to you for your help, your strength, your guidance, your wisdom, your creativity. God, all that you are, God, you help us, this church, to be about the mission that you have for us here in this place and this time. We love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.